Okay, my guest coming up right now is a man named David Diley. He is a filmmaker. He's made the movie Of Shark and Man, and it follows this guy's adventure. He quit his job to become an underwater filmmaker focusing on sharks and to study sharks. It's a pretty amazing story, and it's a really amazing film. You can check out the website, www.ofsharkandman.com. And the reason we're having him on is, one, Shark Week starts next week, from what I understand, which is always fun. And this Friday, a film opens here with Blake Lively called The Shallows, which involves a shark attacking people. And we just want to ask David how accurate maybe this film is going to be, in addition to talking about his movie. And we welcome David to the show. David, welcome to the show.
Hi, Nick. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. I really enjoyed the film. Really amazing stuff.
Oh, good. I'm glad. Thank you for that.
I got to ask you, man, tell the story of that you tell right at the beginning of the film. You talk about, like, is this the life that I'm leading, this 9-to-5 job that I have? And you actually quit, just up and quit. Tell me the story about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, ever since I was a little kid, when I was about 7 years old, when I first saw a film called Realm of the Shark by Ron and Valerie Taylor, I realized that was exactly what I wanted to do. Just, you know, travel around the world, have adventures with sharks, get paid money to do that. You know, yeah. What's not to love about that? and then I kind of, given my background, you know, I don't come from money. I live in the industrial north of England. Access to sharks is not particularly wide, to be honest. It's very difficult. And we could never sort of travel to places where you could go and find sharks because we could never afford that. So you end up, over the course of your life, you kind of get mired in normal life. And I tried to avoid it as much as possible. I was a musician for 10 years. Then I needed to get what I guess you'd call a proper job, really. After 3 years of doing that, I've just realized it just wasn't for me. I kind of thought, you know, where's my life going? I'm not doing what it is that I've always wanted to do. I need to make a decision now, or I'm just going to get stuck doing this for the rest of my life and be miserable. So it was very much kind of a Monday morning, the alarm goes off, just decided on the spot, I can't take this anymore, went in and just quit, and then kind of thought, right, okay, I need to learn how to make a film, how to finance a film, how to edit, how to produce, how to direct, cinematography, everything. I need to learn to do this myself, raise the money, get someone else to pay for me to go and make it, come back and get it on TV, which is absurd. It's just ludicrous.
Yeah.
But I just had this kind of self-belief and belief in the idea and just kind of went for it 100%. So that kind of then led me into actually going to make the film.
Now, let me ask you this. You know, there's a wonderful couple of pictures of you as a kid. and there's one where you are just surrounded by books about sharks, and you look like the happiest kid on the planet. You're like laying on a bed, you're looking at a shark book. There's like 20 shark books laying on the bed next to you. And so sharks just became sort of an obsession for you when you were a kid.
Yeah, just a massive, massive obsession. It was all, you know, sharks and football were the only two things I were interested in. And I started from a very early age. The book that I'm actually looking at in that picture that you mentioned was sent to me by Valerie Taylor. It's a signed copy, Ron and Valerie Taylor were my heroes growing up. And all I ever did was spent my time watching shark documentaries, reading shark books, everything like that, just to learn as much as I possibly could, because it was all in preparation. As a child, I knew that one day this was what I wanted to do, so I was preparing myself for a career, even at sort of 7, 8, 9 years old. So it was just, if ever there was a shark documentary on TV, and they were a lot less frequent back in those days.
Oh, sure. There was no such thing as Shark Week then.
Well, I think Shark Week's been 25 years, I think. So I kind of predated Shark Week in terms of my fascination by sharks for about 5 or 6 years. So it was a very rare occasion. When Jaws was on TV, the whole house went into shutdown. We had one TV. We had the Betamax. So the Betamax would get set. Or any kind of shark documentary. Nobody could watch anything else because David had to watch his shark documentary.
Right.
And then I'd take them onto the Betamax and then wear the tapes out until they snapped. So they weren't anywhere near as frequent as they are now.
Right.
And that kind of plays into the story a little bit as well, because it was such an event and they were often so well made as well. That was the influence on me as a filmmaker, because as they've become more numerous and more common, what I've found in the last sort of 15 years is the quality's actually dipped a lot. They put a lot less focus on the craft of filmmaking and more on kind of faking drama to fit it into 47 minutes that they can wrap around commercials.
Right.
And one of the things that I say in the film is that, you know, nobody's making the kind of films that I wanted to see anymore. So I figured if no one else is going to do it, I may as well just go and do it myself.
Yeah.
Which is kind of very, very, very naive and very ambitious, but somehow I managed to
you did it
to pull it off.
Yeah, no, you did it. Now, why did you choose Fiji? And I mean, there's obvious reasons. After, you know, when you start watching the movie, you explain why you chose Fiji. But was Fiji? Did you study about what was happening in Fiji in terms of shark feedings and what was happening in at the reef?
Yeah, well, the story is such an incredible story. It's a very largely untold story. I found it in a paragraph. I think it was in a magazine, and it just mentioned this place where there was 8 different species of sharks on this shark dive. It was the best shark dive in the world, and the reef used to be dead until the sharks came back, and then the reef came back to life. And I thought, what a brilliant story. I can't wait till someone makes a film about that. And then nobody ever did.
Right.
And then I'd written an article for a diver magazine about shark feeding, because that's kind of an area of speciality for me. And then I found that it was being linked online on all these different blogs and websites. And I contacted one of these people. And this was before I'd quit my job. And I said to him, I'm kind of thinking about this is something I'd really want to do. And I've seen this guy talking about it on his blog. Could you put me in contact with him? And it turns out it was the guy who was actually responsible for this story out in Fiji. So there's a nice little bit of serendipity there. So I got in contact with him and just said, look, I think this is an amazing story. I'd love to make a film about it one day. So if I ever kind of took the plunge and got a chance to do it, would you help me out? And he said, yep, sure, of course we will. I don't think he ever thought I was ever going to do it. So he said, yeah, of course we will help you out.
Now, David, was this Mike Newman that you're talking about?
It was Mike Newman.
I got to tell you, David, my favorite guy in the movie. No offense to you,
he's my
favorite guy in the movie. And I know he became a hero and a mentor of yours as well.
Yeah, I mean, everybody says that he's so popular, and he's very reluctant in that regard. He doesn't do TV interviews ever. He very rarely does interviews in the media. He's very much keeps himself to himself, and he's this big giant. I mean, I'm nudging 6'3", and he towers over me.
Yeah,
he's sort of 6'5", 6'6", this big, imposing character, very charismatic, very kind of hard to get a handle on what he's thinking a lot of the time. He's not a laughy, smiley kind of guy.
No, not at all.
But I became incredibly fond of him because he's such a straight shooter. Honest.
And not only that, but clearly feels strongly about this. Like, this is a passion
of his.
There's no question about it. David, hang on, okay?
Sure thing.
Okay, we have to take a break. David Diley is with us. The movie is called Of Shark and Man. Check out ofsharkandman.com. It's a really terrific movie. This guy quit his day job and decided he was going to make a movie about sharks and much more than that. And he made a really terrific film, a beautifully made movie. And we'll talk more with David about that and more coming up here on WGN. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Stay tuned here in WGN for great programming. Coming up at 5 o'clock is the opening bell with Steve Grzanich and Steve Cochran at 6 o'clock. And constant coverage of what's going to be happening in the weather. Supposed to have some severe weather today and into tonight. But stay tuned to WGN for constant updates. All right, right now I want to go back to my guest. Is David Diley. He's a filmmaker. He made a movie called Of Shark and Man, which follows his adventure, quitting his job, going to Fiji, and becoming a filmmaker focusing on sharks, which was a passion of his. David, welcome back.
Thank you.
All right. Let me, first of all, if people go to the website Of Shark and Man, how is it possible for people to see the movie? And people should see this movie because it's terrific. Tell everybody how you can watch the film.
Well, on what we've done with the website, because obviously I spoke to you last year, and we were just kind of developing the site and adding as much material as possible. And in the year since I last spoke to you, we've added a load of stuff. So there's loads of teaser clips on there. There's the official trailer. There's 6 behind-the-scenes films as well. And I go into quite a lot of detail in how I made it, because the idea was to try and inspire other people to go out and make films as well, not just about sharks, but just to go out, you know, kind of follow their passions if they want to go down the creative industries. So we've added a load of stuff to that, so people can get an idea of what the film looks like, what it sounds like, the content, etc. And we've just with the developments in terms of seeing the film, we've just signed a contract with a sales agent out in LA. We actually had ended up having 5 offers for the film, which I wasn't expecting at all. So I had quite a decision to make with that. So now what we're actually doing is the sales agent is taking the film to networks internationally to try and get the film licensed to get a TV broadcast. So with that in mind, what I was thinking, I wanted to find a way that people could actually see the film, but we're very limited in what we can do because obviously we can't release it online or do a DVD release because a distributor or network won't touch it if it's already gone out.
Right.
So what we're actually doing at the moment is we set up an online shop where we're selling merchandise for the films, the T-shirts, signed posters, stickers, etc., which helps us finance the promotion of it. But what I've been able to do with that is where anyone who wants to see the film, if they get a T-shirt off the website, they actually get a link, a password-protected stream to the film where they can actually view the film as many times as they like in a 7-day period. And we're giving that away free with the T-shirt. So it means that we don't kind of go into any kind of contractual disputes with any networks,
etc. Right.
But people can actually get to see the film. And it doesn't end up as a torrent online or anything like that. That was the main thinking behind it. So that's actually going at the moment. That's a limited offer as well. So the time on that is running out. So if anyone did want to see the film, I'd suggest go to the website, check the trailer, have a look at the teaser clips and the behind the scenes. And if you think it's something that they like, they order a T-shirt. And then when that gets sent out, that they get the link to actually see the film in full.
It's great, and I've seen the movie, and I highly, highly recommend it. We have a link on our Facebook page if anybody's interested, facebook.com/NickDShow. Link on our Facebook page. Go to the website of sharkandman.com. Order yourself a T-shirt. You'll get the link where you can watch the movie online, and it's really, really great. Here, one of the things that I love about the movie, many things I love about the movie, David, is I love the fact that you gave each cinematographer their own credit. There was,
yeah.
I thought that was really great. How many cinematographers did you have on this film?
Well, in total, we had 5.
Right.
We had the principal cinematographer, and then I was when I went over with the film, I had an idea that it was going to be slightly different than it was, because the idea with factual filmmaking is you have an idea of a story and then you go and experience it and let the story develop around you. Because it's, even though it's factual, it still has to have an arc to get the viewer's interest. So the principal cinematographers on the film were a guy called Hugh Fairs, myself, and Mike Newman himself actually shot a lot of the film. He's a very accomplished underwater cameraman as well.
Mm-hmm.
We also had the production assistant, who's a good friend of mine, a guy called Hamish, who kind of, he did everything from sound, he helped with lighting, he was the interviewer, so it was him that was asking me questions when we were doing the pieces to camera.
Right.
He was a dive safety supervisor, he did some camera B-roll, etc. So he was out there in Fiji, and then when I came back to the UK, a couple of friends of mine who are good cameramen as well, they helped with some of the pickup shots over in the UK. And what I wanted to do is because they kind of they committed to it, and there's so much passion for them for the piece, there was no way I wasn't going to give them a credit right up front in the film. And people did kind of come on board. The editing process, post-production, took 4 years.
Wow.
And people were coming in and helping me out. A guy who was a friend of mine at school who I'd not seen for 18 years did the title sequence, just called me out of the blue after seeing a teaser trailer. Said, I've seen the teaser trailer, and is there anything I can do to help? Because it's great. And this is a guy that works at the BBC, with Channel 4. He worked with Gorillaz, the band, doing graphic design for them. So he's a really well-respected, very good guy in the industry over here. And he happened to call me up when I was panicking over not having a title sequence. Out of the blue, 18 years after I'd last seen him, do you need any help with anything? I said, I can't believe your timing. I need a title sequence.
Yeah.
Leave it with me. I'll do it for free. So people really kind of got on board with it. My sound design guy spent 18 months doing the sound design for it.
It's and the result,
a big part of that.
David, the result is so great. And we're running out of time, but I just wanted to mention that the arc of the story that you're talking about, it's so wonderful to see you on that final dive. And then your reaction after your final dive is so beautiful, man. And I didn't count the number of times that you used the word amazing. But I could feel it was just so great. And the footage of you under the water and all of the underwater footage in this movie and what I learned about sharks and what I learned about the community and Fiji and the conservation aspect of it, it is a really terrific film, David. You should be very, very proud.
I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I also want to mention, we have a movie opening here in America on Friday called The Shallows, which you guys in the UK won't get to see until August. Now, are you aware of this film?
Yeah, I've seen the trailer. They've done a couple of trailers. I've seen it, yeah.
Now, I'm sure there's a shark in it, so you'll see it.
Absolutely.
But what are the pros and cons of movies like this? Because this sometimes, you know, people will believe what they see in movies that are absolutely ridiculous. Like, for instance, if I mention Deep Blue Sea, which is one of the most ridiculous movies I've ever seen, but very entertaining. So how do you feel about the fictional movies as opposed to what people should know about the real sharks?
Well, it's kind of strange because with this film, with Facebook and social media now, there's been a lot of pushback on this film already, and nobody's seen it. But there's been a lot of pushback that people are kind of panicking that this is going to make people go out and I think there's this idea that people are going to go to the cinema, see the film, go out, buy a fishing rod, and then start trying to wipe out every single shark in the ocean.
Right.
And it's just that isn't going to happen. People are a lot more savvy these days, and people think a certain way about sharks. I think you can try and change people's perceptions as much as you like, but there's always going to be that innate, visceral emotion that a human being has when they see a shark.
Oh, yeah.
Either a negative or a positive.
Yeah.
So I don't think these films are going to impact on shark populations at all in any way. So there's a kind of a panic about that. I don't think that's the case. I think with the content of the film, it looks like an interesting story. Mm-hmm. It looks like from what I've seen from the trailer, it's really well shot. It looks like it's well made. The story itself, would it happen in real life? No. Sharks don't stalk people in that way. Do sharks attack people? Yes. Do sharks sometimes eat people? Yes. Do they see human beings as a valid prey item sometimes? Yes. People kind of try and make shark attacks out to be this one simple thing which can be easily explained, and it's just not the way. Each one is different. Each one has different factors which have led to that happening, different
right.
outcomes and everything. So people try and simplify something which there's no real science for it because it's such a rare event. It's very difficult to come up with any kind of pattern for
right.
it. So this film, I think these films will never stop. I mean, never stop being made. You have Sharknado, which has kind of become a cult phenomenon.
Right.
I think it's great that sharks become this part of pop culture because everybody's fascinated with sharks.
Yeah, it's true. And Shark Week is so insanely popular here. David, we're running out of time.
Oh,
I just wanted to say thank you so much. And everybody go to ofsharkandman.com or the link on our Facebook page. Buy a T-shirt. That way you can see the movie, and I highly recommend it. David, a real delight talking to you, and congratulations on what you did.
Thank you very much. It was really good to speak to you again as well. Okay. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Take care. There you go. David Diley, everybody.